Last week we began our series about how to possess the land. We want to explain to believers how it is that God gives us the abundance that he has prepared for us in this life. Very important we get that point. And now let me just remind us of a few things that we said last time. In fact, just one point I made last time very specifically. And that's the fact that even though God wants to give you something, if I remember, I began by going over that principle again. The difference between the will of God and the judgment or the decree of the Almighty. God is the judge, all right? So everything that's going to take place on the earth, he has to give the final command for the thing to be able to be released. Now, that's different from his will. We have established that. The will, however, is what we are supposed to walk by. It is our duty as believers to ensure that that will becomes real, that we do things, we say prayers, we utter words that compel God to issue a decree concerning the release of that will. That's what we're trying to explain. So if we find something in life, it's not happening. It does not mean God does not want us to have it. It just means that the right things have not yet been done for the release of that thing. So our duty as Christians is to learn the word of God and do things, pray prayers that will compel that will to be done. That is why we are given the scriptures. That is why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. That's why he said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded. It is written in heaven. That is what we are supposed to do. We identify what God wants us to do. We identify what God wants us to have. And we do what he says is necessary for the release of that thing. What we looked at last time, so that we'll save time, we read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, in which God said to them, Moses was talking about it, that God gave you the land. Now begin to go in and possess the land. God gave them the land and he brought them to the edge of the land. He now said, I have given you the land of this person, the land of these people. Go in and begin to contend in battle so as to possess that land. All right? It is very important we understand that. So that's what we talked about last. I don't want to repeat the story now, everything. We also established the fact that God has given you a land. Number one, it will not fall into your hands automatically. You have to go in and possess it. And oftentimes, there are giants in that land. This is very important. Oftentimes, there are giants in the land. The giants are difficulties. They are things you can see as obstacles to the release of his inheritance that he has given to you, obstacles to the possessing of that land. And I emphasized to us the last time that there was no giant that killed any Israelite. The only time they died because of the giants was when they turned their backs on the giant. Very important we get this point. So in life we will see challenges, but God says if you will get up and face them. I made a statement last time, let me make it again. Goliath will remain alive and taunting as long as Saul and David and all the other Israelites remain in their tents. Once anybody gets up and faces Goliath, Goliath will be toppled. If David remained inside his tent discussing with Saul, Goliath will be out there making noise and threatening the people of God. The moment David got up and said, we can challenge this giant, that was what happened. The giant was toppled over. Now, so that's the principle about life, okay? We must ensure that we walk with God, we understand his will, so that we walk boldly, all right? That's why he gave us righteousness, all right? That's the reason why we have righteousness, so that with it, we can walk boldly and tackle all the challenges of life. Let me make a statement I made last time, very important. I said something that there are giants in the promised land, most certainly, okay? You can find a place where life is easy and there are no giants, but that will never be your promised land. Did you hear what I said? Where things flow easily, without difficulty, without challenges, that's the problem. People are looking for where there's ease, where there are no troubles, where there are no challenges. Let me make that statement again. That is not your promised land. Your promised land will have giants. If everything is too easy, there's no trouble, everything is just laid out easy, be very suspicious. That may not be your promised land. I just want to repeat that statement again. Because we live in this, well, of course, that's how life is generally, but at least this is the life I'm living right now. We live in a time in which people are always looking for where things are easier. If you really want to succeed in life, don't be afraid of giants. We said last time, you must tackle the giants. You must be ready to face giants in life. What are giants? They are the obstacles, the difficulties. You want to go into politics, the Lord is leading you to be a politician. They tell you that PDP is too powerful. That's a giant. Get ready and tackle it. Don't try and follow them because they think they will make life easier for you. No, don't do that. Be willing to challenge big oppositions. Let me say something to you. God says, this is what the Bible says, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth. You know what he's trying to do? He wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. What God is looking for is a heart that is perfect towards him. He will show himself strong on the person's behalf. God's strength cannot be demonstrated if everything is easy. You are getting what I'm going to explain? Let me say something to us quickly again. As Christians, we must understand that our lives is about demonstrating the righteousness of God. I'm going to talk about that as we go on. When you're going to start out in business, you want to start out in an endeavor, in a career, make up your mind, I'm not here to just succeed. I am here to demonstrate the righteousness of God. I was reading the story yesterday, over the last few days. One of our brothers forwarded the link to me. I read that blog for the day, and I looked for all the other blogs. The story of Strive Masiyiwa, the CEO of Econet. You should read the story. In fact, let me start my message from there. You should read it, today's story. I think I should pick it up from there. Well, I'm joining last week's zone with today's zone. The man made up his mind that this corruption in Africa must stop. And he decided to take on giants. When I'm talking about giants, I mean heads of state. He said the former, one of the big politicians of Nigeria, one of the most powerful ones that time, the man told him simply, pay the money. There was a bribe they were supposed to pay to him personally, $4.5 million. Strive said, I am not paying. It's state government money. Econet is not going to pay you. I am not going to approve the payment. Pay or I will kick you out of Nigeria. The man said, go ahead and do it. And they kicked him out of Nigeria. Yes, they destabilized. But the man said, I am not going to pay. At the end of the day, James ended in prison. He won the court case on the matter. It took 10 years, but he won. The people that came in and paid, he made all of them suffer for it. I hope you're getting my point. I like that man's story because the man said, I will take on the giants. And he has taken them on successfully. What interested him in his story, to me it was such a blessing, is that you see, when he decided to take on the giants, he did not even know the things that God would do to help him. But as he was facing the giants, he was discovering how he could handle them. One of the things he noticed is that he said, US and UK, they have certain laws against money laundering and this corporate bribery. And he made a statement. He said, whatever you do, don't cross those laws. He said, if you do, you're a goner. That was the law they used to put James in prison in UK. So Strive said, whatever you do, don't cross those laws. And when he found out that people were crossing them, he put pen to paper. Those that harassed him did not profit from it. The man took on giants and he keeps taking them on and he keeps winning. Takes on African heads of government. You tell him that you have to pay this money, he tells you I'm not paying. I'm withdrawing your license, he goes to court. He is doing it everywhere and is teaching other people, please do this thing. Let me explain something to you. Unless we Christians get up and decide that we want to establish righteousness, these nations can never enjoy righteousness. Life, I said something earlier, we are not here to make money. We are not here to be rich. We are not here to compete. If I was telling this story, I said, what are these African leaders doing with this money? Because you must understand, your wealth must tell a story. It must tell a story. I keep on giving an example. If I mention the name Bill Gates, you know what he stands for. If I mention the name Michael Dell, you know what he stands for. Many of our brethren, when I say brethren now, I don't mean Christian brethren, many of our African brethren, they have money, you don't know what he stands for. Some of the men they respect most in Nigeria, they say this man is powerful, he's rich. I keep on asking people, what does he do? Nobody can tell me what he does. Nobody can tell me what he does. And that is a terrible thing to do to a society. Because the young children will not understand how to live life. They don't know what to aspire to. What does he do? What am I going to emphasize? For us believers, our lives is not just about we make money, we are rich, we are big. No, no, not at all. In fact, if you want to be rich, you will pierce yourself through, the Bible says, with many sorrows. You will have trouble upon trouble. If amassing wealth is your issue, you will be sad in life. You will never be happy. You will be sick. You will be diabetic. You will be hypertensive. Your head will swell. You will have your family will scatter. Not only is it the principle of life, it's the judgment of God when believers behave like that. For us, one thing I want to explain again. We have to learn to think the way God thinks about wealth. I'll get to it in a moment. But back to the issue of giants. That's what I'm emphasizing. Don't be afraid to take on giants. Most people, that's what the problem is. Their minds, You know, they have been defeated. There's a story I like to repeat, all right, once in a while. Many years ago, when Evander Holyfield was going to fight Michael Tyson, there was something that Holyfield's coach said. Tyson at that time was a feared fighter. But when they're going for the battle, the pre-match conference, the coach, Holyfield's coach said, Holyfield has won this fight. So how do you know? And he ended up winning. He said he has won the fight. How do you know? He said during the pre-match conference, that Tyson could not look at Holyfield in the eyes. That he knew in his spirit he had defeated Tyson. I like that story because it helps me understand people. Sometimes you talk to Christians, to human beings, I don't want to say Christians, people. And Christians should not be like that. They are defeated already. That is, they have not started a business. They have 10 reasons to tell you why it would work. They have not started ministry. They've already told you all the financial problems of ministry. He has never done it before. They've never started anything yet. Yesterday I was in my office. Two people were talking. And, you know, it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. I was looking at the two of them, the young man and the young woman, some of my members of staff. Well, in the general office, I was looking at them talking. I said, we talk like this. You don't go far in life. And what were they doing? They were just analyzing the situation of the country. And you will see ignorance just belch you. Boom. Ignorance. You see people that have made up their minds that we don't have a choice but to fail. Why? Because the society does not want us to succeed, so we will fail. And they were talking, after some time, I carried myself, I left the place. I just told the one of them, I said, you have a master's degree, you should talk like somebody that went to school. And that's one thing I want to tell Christians. It is not just about, you know, you either win or lose first in your heart. You must never face life as if you're a victim. You must never do it. Because if you do, that's what you will become. Walk into life with the boldness of God, knowing that Christ Jesus indeed has set you free from slavery. Don't ever follow these people that will be pointing fingers for you. They are not helping you, they are making you a victim. There is no human being that's big enough to stop a child of God from succeeding. God changes governments to favor his children. God will change a head of state to favor one person. That is, a head of state. Change a governor. Change top political leaders to favor one individual. One. That is how God is. When the Bible says his eyes run to and fro the whole earth. The whole earth. He's looking for somebody whose heart is perfect towards him. He wants to show himself strong on the person's behalf. Listen. If we are going to take the land that God has given to us as believers, the winning is first here. Are you getting my point? It is first in the heart. We must win there first. These giants, we must never, ever allow giants to discourage us from doing things. You will not succeed because you went to where life is easy. You've just postponed the day of hardship. Did you hear what I said? Don't think because life is easy somewhere, that will guarantee success. No. The days of hardship have just been postponed. And the Bible says it is better to bear your burden when you are young. Listen, don't let giants drive you up and down. And don't let them discourage you from doing what you are supposed to do. Very important statement. That's what we discussed last time. Before I read the scripture, I feel like saying something. You are listening to this. You are present here this afternoon or this evening. Or you are listening to this from anywhere. You know why? Because God wants to do something special in your life. Amen. Let me describe this thing again. I feel so strong about it because we talk about the increase of his kingdom. We talk about once again he will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, when God wants to shake the heavens and the earth, he says so that the silver and gold can come for the building of his temple. Those things are not going to rain from heaven. Or well, they are going to rain from heaven in quotes, you understand my point, but then they must have channels they will flow through. So what God is doing with his word is to prepare channels that these things can flow through. Emphasis on that word, flow. I need to say this one more time because we said it before. Let me talk about wealth. Please, if you have not read my book, Grace to Prosper, I'm specially recommending it today. Of the books we have, I think it's the biggest of them. Please read it. Be patient. Don't jump to the back. Read from the beginning and go step by step till you finish the book. Why I just remember the book now is because in it I talk about wealth. And this is the problem we have sometimes as Christians. You know, I said that if we are going to win in life, we first win in our heart. We first win in our minds. It's a spiritual battle first before a physical battle. You must, first of all, I mean, when David saw Goliath, he was not doubting that Goliath was going down. He was certain he would take down Goliath. He had won the battle in his heart before he met Goliath physically. Where Christians often lose the battle is in the heart. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, I was making a statement that about that book. Why I recommend it again, there's somewhere I talked about wealth. And one of the problems Christians have is misunderstanding. And please, I know I've said this many times, but give me a few minutes or some 10 minutes to go over it again. One of the problems Christians have in life is misunderstanding. If you read my book, by What is God's Will Here, I ask a question. The first chapter is, what is the will of God? What do you mean by the will of God? If you don't get your definitions right, what happens is that you have a wrong prayer point, you have a wrong expectation. When you say, what is the will of God? Most people say, let's take about a job. Which one pays me more? Will pay me more? Which one will make me build a house faster and travel over the world with my children? So when they are praying for the will of God, they actually mean bring me plenty of money. Which job will give me the best? But in that book, I explained that that's where why we have a problem. A woman says, which one is the will of God for me to marry as a man? And what she means is that which man will take care of me? And God says, for my children, I don't give them men to take care of them. I give them men that they can work with and fulfill the will of God. Are you getting my point? There's a purpose for which I give them life. That is the will of God. So you see, we are redefining things. And many times when we get our definition right, instantly the result comes. Now back to the reason why I went into that. The wealth matter. In that book, I tried to explain. Many people, I remember when I was in university then, one day a brother was preaching on prosperity. We were discussing the room actually, one of our senior brothers, one of my classmates. He was angry that this is why people steal. Because this guy, you see, when one man says one thing, another says another thing. They may use the same words, but they have different things in mind. When this brother was preaching prosperity, what my friend was hearing was, I will be rich, I will have 10 cars. Are you getting my point? I will have a big house. I will have, like one man in Lagos that time, when Lexus was out, he would buy it in black and in white. I don't know why. I don't have to tell you that he collapsed shortly after. Because money was flowing towards him so much. He would buy the same car in two colors. That's real foolishness. And the thing crippled the company. He did. The whole company collapsed. All right? So that's what one man was hearing. But then the Bible uses the word wealth. But that's not what he was referring to. When that brother was talking about wealth, he definitely wasn't talking about that. But without time to explain, both of them will have a disagreement. Even though they have the same ideas about life, but the word wealth means different things to them. I want to say to us again today, if you don't define it correctly, God's power will not be able to flow into your life to manifest it. Wealth for a believer is not, I have so much money, I don't know what to do with it again, so I start blowing it anyhow. When my wife's makeup, cosmetics finish, she will go to Paris to go and buy. Yeah, people do such things. It's a sign that they are rich. I heard that one man, one of these people that Buhari is pursuing seriously now. You know, people move in a convoy of cars. He used to fly in a convoy of planes. I won't tell you his name, but some people will know what I'm talking about. They know who I'm referring to. Now, really, when I heard the story, I couldn't believe it. You're talking about private jet. He was flying in private jets He's even had an S. Listen, that is not the purpose of wealth for a Christian. There's this short movie I have, documentary, called Fabulous Lifestyles of Filthy Rich People. I saw it and I laughed throughout that this is vanity. One girl, her father is a billionaire. They showed her wardrobe. She has about 300 pairs of shoes. Now, nothing wrong with 300 pairs of shoes. If you have 300 pairs of legs, I mean, their feet, there's no problem with that. Now, really, I'm very careful not to just say, what's the deal with it? I don't know. But when I looked at it, the people were showing the film. They were making it look like she has so many shoes. The funny thing is that I feel like saying, this girl will not wear. You know why she has 300 pairs? Because she buys any fine one she sees. And she mentioned the name of one of the top designers. I love his work. I love it. The last time I went to a shop, I couldn't select, so I bought all of them. Listen to me. That is not why God gave us wealth as believers. That is not why. They had a competition of who has the biggest boat. The problem with those yachts, they call them, is that, in fact, they don't buy yachts, I'm sorry. They buy mega yachts. The cost of maintenance is what ruins an average millionaire. Things like that. You've watched the movie. I kept on laughing throughout. I said, it's pure vanity. This is not why God gave us wealth. I want us to understand it. When we're talking about wealth for a believer, wealth, actually, forget believers first of all. Let's just talk about wealth generally. Wealth is about control. It's not about acquisition. Wealth is about power to control. That's what it is. That's what the Bible says. It is the Lord thy God. If you read that Deuteronomy chapter 8, what it said is that thou shalt remember. It is the Lord, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he is the one that giveth thee the power to get strength. The literal Hebrew is power to get strength. What the Hebrew man calls, what you and I call wealth, they call it power. Because it is not about I count material things. It's actually about the power that comes with it. Are you getting my point? All right? So it is what you do. Now, that's where I'm going. It is the ability to do that God is giving to believers. It is not the ability to have. It is the ability to do what? To do. It's not the ability to have. Let me just give a few testimonies. Because of my experience in ministry, the last few years, I've encountered brethren, you know. Like the last one I was telling you about, one brother said, these messages you are preaching, we have to put it on this particular radio station in our area. I've gone to them, I have priced it. Right now, my friends and I are not able to handle it. We are praying for God to lift us up to that level where we'll be able to do it. And once we get to that level, get ready, sir. You have to preach the word on this particular station. Wealth for him is the ability to do. I hope you're getting my point. One of the radio stations where we broadcast, how did we get there? That's the question. A brother heard the broadcast, heard the messages. After a while, I decided that, look, this is my state. They should hear this thing. So he went there, discussed with them, chatted with them. We discussed with him to give advice on pricing. He went there, and to our surprise, he paid them for one whole year and said, come and put the messages here. It is the power to do what? To do. It is not the power, please get what I'm going to say, to have. Wealth for the believer is the power to do. You know, most of the charity we do, a lot of people like charity as if it's godliness. Charity is godliness, but it's not perfect. God doesn't like the idea that certain people are begging and they have to be handed down to. It's supposed to be a temporary thing. I'm not saying it's bad, though. For the giver, it is good. For the receiver, it is bad. Did you hear what I said? For the giver, it is good. But for the receiver, that's not God's perfect idea. God's perfect idea for every human being is that they will have the power to create wealth and be able to help somebody else. And transfer somebody from the situation of being down and collecting to being up and able to hand down to somebody else. And that way, everybody keeps growing. So the charity of just hands down to people is not God's perfect will. God's perfect will is for somebody else to give the other people the opportunity to help themselves. Yes. God says, I would rather you go down to a place where the Lord, young men and young women, go there, create companies, create industries, create schools, create things that would train them, help them work for themselves, than go down there and be doing like an Islamic cleric, handing down, you know, zakat. I said, look, it's good if they are hungry, but you have to teach a man to fish. Do you get my point? You know, the way they said it, give a man a fish, you fed him for one day. I said, no, teach him to fish. Show him how to make things. You know, then you can give him some money to buy his own nets, buy his own hook, buy his own boat. Then he starts fishing. Many times, this man, Henry Ford believes something, and I agree with him totally. Henry Ford said human beings are different. That not everybody has a capacity to be a business developer. He said for many people, just give them a job to do, they will do it well. The idea of running a business, you know, thinking about this, making purchases, distributing this, hiring staff, firing staff, that they can't handle it. So as far as he's concerned, it was his duty not to make entrepreneurs. If you want to be an entrepreneur, that's your issue. His own is to create an opportunity for those who cannot take part in entrepreneurship to have a regular income. That's why when he developed his assembly line system, people used to yap him that his men who work for him don't think. His own concept is that if you want to think, go and work somewhere else. I don't know whether you get the point. He's not against those who think. After all he was doing was manufacturing cars. Cars are not the only things needed in the society. After all, the sick has to be taken care of. Schools have to be run. Farming has to be done. After all, clothes have to be made. Houses have to be built. All I'm doing is taking care of cars. And he says majority of human beings don't even want that amount of exertion for their soul. So what does he do? He breaks down the manufacturing process so that if you come to work and you are able, all you need to do is carry this, take it here, fix it here, turn around, carry it again, take it here, fix it here. And for doing that regularly for eight hours a day, you have a very good house, you have good food to eat, your children will go to good schools. His men actually used to inspect the houses he gave to his workers to be sure they are clean. Now, I'm bringing an issue now. He created a system whereby thousands of people were empowered to be productive in their lives. Nobody is saying he did everything perfect. But I'm talking about wealth. For him, wealth was a power to do. It was not, okay, now I have made so much money. No. It is that, listen. In fact, he said something, which is one of the things I teach to believers. He said, what is the success of the Ford Motor Company? He said, no, it's not about that car that bears the name Ford. It's about teaching people the principles of life. That I have successfully done that. I have shown that it is good to pay your workers well. He almost tripled the working man's income by himself. I have demonstrated that when you make a product, put your name on it and work for the integrity of your name. So Ford said, if I sell you a car, if it breaks down, it's my fault. It's not your fault. So it's like the warranty system. He said, Ford sold cars so that you don't have to buy another one. Because the way I designed my car is that you're supposed to use it for a very long time. So if you buy one last year, you are back today to buy another one. Please explain to me what's going on. Now, he's not angry with you, but he wants to know that, is it that I did a bad job? So he said, the success of the company is not about whether I made money, I didn't make money. It's not whether the cars are selling, the cars are not selling. It's that I have now taught people that this is how to do business. They will be forced to agree with me, seeing that the business has succeeded. I'm not emphasizing to believers the meaning of the word wealth. Wealth is not the ability to change your cars anytime. That's a blessing. It's good. We should all be able to do that. And God is bringing us all to that level where we can do it. Not by covetousness now, but if it is necessary, do it. That's not what it is, however. It's not the ability. The fact that you gather your wife, your children, and decide to disappear to Europe for a holiday does not talk to me that you are rich. It could mean simply that you're stupid. Yes, and I mean it like that. And I've seen stupid people before. Carry children for holiday in Europe, they are owing money. So you're driving a very fancy car, does not mean anything. Wealth is the power to control, the power to direct resources to the place where God wants it to go so that his kingdom can be advanced. I'm not talking about just the preaching of the word now. I'm talking about every good thing that God wants done on the earth. That is what wealth is. Please, let's get that into our minds. So when we are preaching, we're not talking about those who want to be rich. Sometimes I was telling my wife something today. There's a man I listen to. I read his materials. Never heard his message or the audio. I read his materials sometimes. And I told my wife that this man, he talks as if it's good for every Christian to be poor. And if you are rich, there is a problem with it. And let me say to us again, let's get these concepts out of our minds. Abundance is God's perfect will. Somebody give me an amen if you are with me.
Amen.
Lack is to be endured. Paul said, endure hardship as a true soldier. Please, we have to get that clear. Again, let's not allow those who have abused things, all right, to define them for us. It's very important. You don't let those who have abused a process or abused some things to define those things for us. Listen, it is part of God's commandment. Now, please, I'll say it simply, then I'll explain it if I have to. For some of us as believers to be exceedingly wealthy, it is. It is. Let me say something to you again. This one that churches are always taking offering and begging for money, pastor, is against the will of God. And there are two reasons for it. One, I said before that they don't know how to manage their resources, but I don't want to talk about that. Let me talk about the lack of money. One of the reasons why churches still lack, ministries still lack, good works still lack money, is that God is telling us, and he's saying to the church, that one, we preachers are not preaching the balanced truth, and then number two, the church is not practicing the full truth. Because it is not right. God never expected that every member of the church will contribute money equally for everything. He never expected it. His design is that just like a pastor will get up every Sunday and be sweating and preaching. Like David Paulson will say, he spends 1 hour in study. For every 5 minutes, he spends preaching. That is, I was alone in my study for 1 hour. No studying, praying, checking, cross-referencing, making sure that my facts are correct. So if he teaches for 1 hour, that's 12 hours that went into being able to deliver a good message for 1 hour. Not everybody will do that in the church. Why is it, therefore, that you expect that when it's time to give money, everybody contributes at the same level? I'll tell you, one of the reasons why it's been like that is that generally, we think poverty is good. We don't realize that what God said, let me anoint somebody with wealth, and with anointing to teach, with understanding. And then I turn around and anoint somebody else with the anointing for control. Remember I said earlier, wealth is about what? Control. So that he'll be able to control and direct resources to where we need it. Unfortunately, when people don't understand, they start criticizing. They fight and say, fight the gospel of prosperity. Listen, I agree that some people have abused it. Now, please, what I'm going to do in all of these things, okay? It just emphasizes to Christian, because inside your heart, if you don't believe right, God's power is manifested according to your faith. If you don't believe rightly, his power cannot be manifested. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's why what I'm doing all of this to let you know that God actually expects and has released his power for Christians to succeed in life. Don't let those who are criticizing affect you. I told you, I saw a man on his website and he was lambasting and insulting preachers that he said were flying private jets. All of them Americans, all right, not Nigerians. And when it was done, it seemed to me that the only thing he expects that anybody should do with a private jet is fly food to the poor. He wrote it there that the only person that he knows has ever bought a private jet for a good reason is Lester Sumrall. Why? Lester Sumrall used to use his plane to fly food to the poor. I don't have time to discuss that man. Obviously, he doesn't go to many places. He's not a busy man. He lives in one community. He doesn't travel often. He's not needed in many places. I hope you get my point. Yeah, he's not. That's all I have to say about it. Let me not discuss the man, because he's taking me away from my message. But such ideas, all right, they cripple the ability of believers to succeed in some things that God wants them to succeed in. Because something in your mind creates a mental block. Because you get to a particular point in life, you have to get into a particular swing. You know, like they say, you have to learn to roll in a particular way. Do you get my point? Because, no, really, this is a matter of fact. There are things you can't do until your mind has been expanded to be able to take some things. What I mean is this. If you keep on saying that, I can never fly a private jet, I can never, what's it for? Listen, there's a level of business in life you will never do. Nobody's angry with you. God is not angry. He's not angry. He's not. Even in ministry, there's a level of ministry you will never be involved in. Let me tell you something about ministry. I want to digress briefly. Listen to this about ministry. You can listen to my tips, my messages online, and be blessed. Amen? Amen. You can get this, maybe a book I wrote, read it, and be blessed. True or false? Let me ask you a question. If a book can bless you as much as my direct ministration, do you think Paul would have known it? That writing is as good as direct preaching? Yes, he should have known. Yeah, the same Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He said, I wanted to come to you so as to impact a spiritual gift to you. There are spiritual gifts that don't go on tapes. They don't fly in books. They need the physical presence of the fellow that's carrying it. Otherwise, it needs too much faith on the other end. Because it's a balance. Some people can be so powerful in faith, they will drag it. But generally, that's not God's ideal. It is good that I'm teaching here. We are recording this on the website. People can download it anytime. But there's a kind of blessing I'm supposed to be to certain people. Until I go to their midst and I talk to them the way I'm talking to you, they will never get it. That's why Paul said, I desire to come to you that I might impart a spiritual gift to you. It was when he couldn't, he said, let me manage the letter. This is very important though. You know why I'm saying so? So if God wants you to bless many people with the anointing and the physical presence, the fact that you are inside the body limits the number of places you can go to. I hope you get the point. And for that reason, there is a difference between good. How many of you have gone to Abuja before by road? How many hours? All right, some say 6, some say 12, depending on the, if you go with the keke napep. And you know there are different ways to go to Abuja by road. No, but this is where I'm going. Let's not talk about that in details. Going to Abuja for 7 hours, 8 hours on the road, trust me, it's not the same as going there in 1 hour. There are times, like when I was going to go and preach in Lagos, the man said, please come a day before. I said, sir, I'll be out of Enugu for too long. He said, no, he's thinking about the time we'll land in Lagos. I said, don't worry, I will leave Enugu fully dressed, ready to go to preach. And by the time I was leaving my home, I dressed like I was going to preach. I had my tab in my hand. From the airport, now I was still fresh, no sweat on my body, straight to church, straight to the pulpit. If anybody tells that, why don't you save the money for the flight and go by road? Just tell the person. No. Bless the fellow, like Apostle did. Say, God punish poverty in your life. Just bless the person like that. Exactly, thank you. There's a customizer of pronouncing poverty. Let's learn that one. God punish poverty in your life. No poverty. Certain times in life, you need your poverty to die. No, really. You know, what I'm saying so is, so you realize, therefore, okay? The same way you think it is reasonable to go to the airport and blow money that you could have used 1/3 of it to go to where you're going, but because you need your rest, your time is valuable. For some people, the concept of having flights canceled and postponed is to them ungodly. Because each hour wasted, if he's a businessman, can be worth 50 million naira. Not just in his life, but in the lives of other people. For those of us who are preachers, God can say, you see, 3 hours, if you had reached there on time, I would have healed the sick, raised the dead, blessed people, And then you will have been able to leave the place to go and do the physical impartation of the anointing again. Please, I said the last time, let me say it to you again. Don't let people use poverty mentality to keep you under, where that is below the glory that God wants to walk in. The first place you succeed in life is in your mind, though. First, I've already explained, don't let the world define wealth for you. We don't have their standard. We don't have their standards. Our own standards are different. Our standard is to be able to perform, is a power to do. That's why I'm trying to emphasize that. So I'm explaining again to us, listen, if we don't open our hearts for it, God can't do anything for us. Don't make statements like this. These are the things that prevent you from succeeding in your heart. Once you say something like this, what's a man looking for in life? Just to have two cars, one for me, one for my wife, build a decent house, and send my children to a good school. What more am I looking for? Let me pray for you again. God punish poverty in your life.
Amen.
May it disappear from you.
Amen.
Don't talk like that. Any person talking like that is one of the most selfish creatures that are walking on this earth. All I want is for me, for my wife, my children, my family, nobody else gets blessed. Go and listen, go and read it very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said it is necessary you superabound so you can do good works. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. I just want to read that one. I'm not taking everything in context here because we don't have the time. He said, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I hope you are looking at it in your Bible. That God's grace, God wants it to flow towards you. He says he's able to do it. What is the result of his grace flowing towards you? One, you will have all sufficiency in everything. Somebody say all sufficiency. In everything. Not in some things. In what?
Everything.
But that's not the end. He said, this was how I blessed Abraham. I blessed him so he could be a blessing. In the same manner, I said, I wanted to have all sufficiency in everything and then have abundance for every good deed. The reason why God gives us abundance is for good deeds. Anybody who says, what am I looking for in life, is selfish. Has not been trained in the doing of good. Because if you have a training to do good, no, you will not utter statements. I mean, what is wrong with, we do weddings and stuff like that, and it's customary, and it's very good custom, we must never let it go away, for us to give gifts, cash, kind, different things. Do you realize that if God prospers us so much that when people are wedding, we give them a flat as their own. People will marry faster. Yes, no. These boys who don't want to marry sometimes, they have their reasons. There's something I want to say today, all right? Let me quickly drop it, then we'll get back to it. Miracles are emergency procedures. There's a difference between walking in God's abundance and God's blessings than walking in God's miracles. God does not rain manna in the promised land. He only rains manna in the wilderness. There's a reason why I'm going to that. When God wants to bless the society, I said something before, that one of the reasons why God took Job through what he went through, was to bless the society. Because Job was the richest man, the most abundant man in the society. Yet, what did he have? He was not particularly very rich by today's standards. So to download another realm, a spiritual realm, to pour further abundance into the earth, God took Job through what he took him through. I'm going somewhere. To be able to do things like we're talking about, somebody's getting married, okay, I bought that flat, it's yours. That's your wedding present. I've done this one for you. God won't work such miracles regularly. No, trust me, he won't. That's what I'm going to emphasize. He will not. He says, no, those are not miracles I work. These are realms of grace you guys as a body must step into. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I don't want one person to give one testimony, praise the Lord, something I did once in 1,000 years. No. I want everybody corporately to step into a realm as a level of grace that they are walking in. That's what he said. Please, I'm trying to emphasize something. So please, remove these things from your mind, because this was has been happening. You see people who believe in poverty as the will of God. There's a lot of people who come out and believe in covetousness as the will of God. Both extremes are wrong. But people now think covetousness, worldly wealth, is what prosperity means. That's not what prosperity means. Prosperity means, just like he said here, in fact, I didn't even know there's this scripture to define my, you know, I have a definition for prosperity. Having all you need in life to do God's will. Let me define it for you again. This is my definition of prosperity. Having all you need in life to do the will of God for your life. Two, to enjoy doing with the will of God. Even though we can do it with hardness, but it's better to do it enjoying it. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. For example, I made a covenant with my wife. Amen. I'm married to her till death do us part. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what happens, I'm staying there. She's not good anyway. But I think it is better that we enjoy staying there. It's better. It's not like I'll start walking. Some people walk. They are always walking. Why? They don't want to go home. Yes, I've known many people like that. Always walking. Say, this man is so hard working. Listen, the guy no one go house. So the will of God is I stay with my wife forever. But I'd rather stay with her while enjoying it. Even though I will stay, even if it is hard. You are getting my point. So prosperity is having all we need to do God's will and to enjoy doing God's will. Listen to me. I have taken bike to go and preach before. Yes, I have. I have walked to complete the journey to go and preach. I have, you know, sat in buses to go to places. And the bus was blowing smoke. You know those ones that don't close very well? You get what I'm talking about? They put load. They didn't even put load. The boot just didn't close. You now sat in the last row or one of the last two rows. And as they are going, you don't know the physics behind it, but instead of the smoke to go out, it's sucking back into the vehicle. When you reach there, they think you smoked, you know. You develop allergies you were not born with. You know, things just... I mean, and we endured it. We still went to where we wanted to go to. What's the big deal? Went to all kinds of places. But believe me, I've not done such in such a long time. I haven't. And believe me, I prefer the one I'm doing right now. It's better. It's far better. I won't lie to you. You know, I won't deceive you. No, I prefer the fact that we enter our own car, wind up the glass. This one day I was driving, there's a bus section during dry season, after Oka, on your way to Onitsha. That's stretch. You know, dust, dry season, cars were going, phew. I was in my car, my glass was wound up. I was feeling sorry for the people in Peaceman's Transit. That is, my spirit was groaning for them. Father, deliver them in the name of Jesus. Because I couldn't imagine inhaling this dust. This had doctors say you develop pneumoconiosis. Lung fibrosis. If you inhale dust like this, you can't preach well. Believe me, after you have preached for 30 minutes, you'll be tired. They won't know why. It's the dust on the road. It's not like you were preaching normally before. Prosperity is having not to inhale dust when you are going to preach. If there's dust, we'll still go. But rather, there was no dust. There's no glory in preaching inside dust. It doesn't make people understand the gospel better. Forget it will make you look as if the things of God must be hard. Listen, if it is hard, we will enjoy it. But if God says, choose between the hard and the soft. I said, Lord, is it the same effect? He said, yes, bring the soft one. What is it? After all, if hardness was that good, when we get to heaven, everything will have been harder still. Because it's for your good. We are defining prosperity. It is having enough to do the will of God for your life. And to enjoy doing it. And then having abundance, so as to help other people do the same. Food is not sweet, you know what I mean? The taste on it is not like that unless you are eating it with somebody else. That is when it is, you know? Remember the stories one man told that one day some people were eating in the house. They saw one young boy peeping from the window looking at the food. So they went and called him. Come in, come and eat. So the young boy, poor boy, you know, was very happy. He came in. He sat down. Eat now. He will eat something and I'll be looking out of the window. What is the problem? Why don't you want to? Now he said, actually, he didn't come alone. So that his friends are outside. So the rich man went and opened the door and called everybody in. Then he could eat. Are you getting my point? That is prosperity eating. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How do you do birthday? Say, today is my birthday. Now you chop the cake, the ice cream. That is. No, that's not a birthday. It says your birthday, only you ate the cake. It's your birthday, you ate the ice cream. It's your birthday, you took the picture, snapped yourself. Abba! Something is wrong. Something is wrong. What is prosperity? Is having enough to help other people do the will of God. Please, you know, my message today, I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. First, he wants us to accept it. Many people in their hearts, the only reason why they are praying is so that they can have enough to eat. And God says, that is why I've not given you anything. Let's read more particular scripture. It will help me explain what I'm going to say. Quickly, go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. I just want to quickly explain why God has not been able to bless us the way he wants to. At the end of today, what I want to do, one of the things I hope I will have achieved is to help us understand and help us activate the faith to receive. Are you getting my point? That's what I'm talking about. Isaiah chapter 49. He said, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, O peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. Now, please, follow me here. We are talking about a ministry, a calling. And he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. That is, he made me a select arrow, prepared me, then he hid me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, now this is why I'm reading this. We're not discussing this in details. There's something here I just want to apply. But I said, as I have toiled in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. Let me just really apply this. This is not a direct interpretation. It's an application. What was Isaiah saying here? This is a prophetic psalm, okay? But basically what Isaiah was saying is that I am not getting the results I wished for. I know I'm anointed. I know I'm called. I know I have the grace of God, all right, to fulfill the preaching of the word. But what is happening right now is that all my preaching, all my toiling has been in vain. That's what's happening right now. That is, I'm not getting the results that I desire for. Are you getting my point? I have invested in businesses. They have not worked. I have tried, you know, I've applied for many jobs. I've not been taken. I'm a contracts person. I've applied to do many contracts. Nothing has come through. He now said, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord. God says, I've tried my best. I have worked in righteousness, but nothing is working. He said, my reward is with my God. Now notice verse 5. He said, but now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. I feel very prophetic in this, so please follow me closely. So that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. This is what God says in verse 6. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Let me put them in bracket, alone. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, The one that the business is not working, the investments are not working, the attempts at succeeding is not working. To the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, notice the one abhorred by the nation. Israel, he was preaching to, they are not listening. Where he was striving to get results is not working. To that particular person, I say, kings will see you and arise. Princes will also bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. He said, thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I will have answered you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people. To restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Let me stop here because of time, please. There's a reason why I read this. I just want to bring out a particular spirit from here. The man was laboring in what we can call ministry. He was believing God for the nation to respond to him. But you know what's happening? They were not responding. And when he cried to God, God said in effect, listen to this, that what you have been focusing on, I have not been able to do it for you. I think it's an application I'm bringing forth from it, all right? I have not been able to do it for you. It's because what you are believing me for, if I give it to you, you'll be satisfied. And when you're satisfied, I can't get to the level I want to get to. You want to redeem this nation alone. He said it is too small a thing. Are you getting my point? Instead of just redeeming this nation, I want, listen to what he said, verse 6. It is too small a thing that it should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved one of Israel alone. Now, I'm the one that added the word alone. I will also make you a light to the nations. God is saying in effect, many people here, listen to me, many people listening to me right now, because the reason why you have labored, the reason why you have tried, and it hasn't worked, is because what you are trying to achieve is too small. I don't know whether you heard that. Many people have been looking for a job just to pay rent, buy clothes, and eventually get married, have one, two children. The way human beings like to have children these days, don't have too many because it's a problem from the Lord. Yes, that's how we read the Bible. Children are a problem from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is harassment. Blessed is a man that has as few as possible. That is the Bible that many of us read. All right? So basically, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. And God says, listen, I'm sorry. I cannot oblige you that. If I give that to you, this is how 1,000 people will not get a job. Are you getting my point? This is how 1,000 families will not be fed. This is the reason why the nation will not develop. This is why I can never make you what I intended for you to be in life, because you are going to be satisfied quickly with a small thing. You would think it's humility, but I call it small-mindedness. Many people brag on their humility. God said it's a lie. They are proud. They are not following me. Because pride is when you hold on to your own ideas and you don't learn the ideas of God. That's what pride is. Many people that you think are humble, they are not humble. They are stubborn. Listen, I'm telling the truth. Many people you think are humble, they are not humble. They are stubborn. There are many people, you know the problem? They are afraid. If they believe some of these things you are saying, they have to stop sleeping till 10 o'clock every day. You are going to shake them out of their comfort. Then suddenly they have to now start extending and believing God for great things. A problem may be good, but it's still a problem. Some people don't want problem at all. What I mean by problem is that, listen, if only you are running a business, you don't pay anybody. You know it's good. If there's no money, only you. But if you have to pay 10 people, I don't know whether I get my point. If you're a man that knows to worry, you have to worry you. If you know a man that knows to pray, you will pray. But one way or the other, the money must come. Either it comes by faith or it comes by worry. If it comes by worry, you get the money, you die. Okay? If it comes by faith, you get the money, you live, and you do the will of God. But one way or the other, the money must come. And that is the thing a lot of people don't want. You think he's humble? No, he's not humble. He's afraid. A lot of people don't want to have to be discussing big things. That it will give them a headache. Listen to me. You must get ready for that headache and learn how to take the spiritual analgesic to solve it. But you cannot live life and be small. You cannot promote the kingdom of God like that. You know, one of my favorite Nigerians, I'm not saying I like his life totally, but I just like to use him as an example. You know, I like Dangote for one reason. You know the reason. I'll tell you. Because for me, it shows what I'm not saying he's a good man or a bad man. It's Alhaji Aliko Dangote. I don't know whether he's a Christian in secret or a Muslim in open. That's not what I'm talking about. I just like, there are some things people criticize about him that I say, you are criticizing what actually is what the Bible calls the glory. Let me explain anything. Do you know there are government policies that government will not make if it doesn't favor the man? Some people think it's corruption. It's not corruption. If you are the single largest employer of labor in any country, only a fool of a leader wants your business to spoil. By the time you remove government, who employs more human beings than he does? Think about it. You know, people don't reason well. Listen, when American banks wanted to collapse and the government bailed them out, it wasn't out of the law for the bankers alone. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm going to make here. Listen, God does not want... You see, there are different aspects of life. It's not all of us that are going to be preachers. Everybody has their own sphere of influence. Thank God for Strive, Mercy, what I was telling you about earlier. When I tell you that he's taking head of state's head on, he's not talking 5,200 naira. When they are discussing, it's $100 million we are talking about. When they say, we are withdrawing your license, the man is not talking about license he bought for 15,000 naira, the one you pay to Eswama. Listen. He's talking about, I paid $50 million for a license. You can't withdraw it like that. So the man goes to court, said, man, if not fight, let's fight this thing out. Then he gathers his men. I've heard the story before. The men will use prayer and fasting to destroy you if you don't get out of the way. I know Christian businessmen like that. Many. Oh, tomorrow we are going to talk. So gather the staff in the office. Guys, this night, nobody's sleeping. All right, start praying. These are the scriptures. Begin to declare. He goes, he's there. A guy just saying, good morning, sir. You're welcome to the meeting. His boys are behind. You are negotiating with spirits. You don't know. You are negotiating with spirits. Oh God, you know what I'm preaching? God wants you to go to a place where he can demonstrate his power. You are killing your neighbor in the market. God wants you to get to a place where you and your friends, you will join hands and say, this is too much. Who does this man think he is? Bring your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we reject him. And the head of state is impeached. That's what we are talking about. That a man sits in power. And because they're making a minister in any country in the world. And he wants to be an obstruction to the progress of your work. Which you understand is the work of the kingdom. You call it, why, baby, I'm angry. You say, why is it annoying? You say, this man does not understand that it's God that makes kings. Give me your hands. And you just read the scripture. From the book of Daniel chapter 4. You explain to him from the book of Psalms 75 that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. He brings down one and lifts up another. Father, let him understand it in the name of Jesus. Supposed to see you by 9 tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Somebody leaks a secret about him to the head of state. That one calls and says, you want to embarrass my government? Resign. You didn't say anything. It's the spirit that went out. His spirit went out and gathered the man's resignation. I said, get out. The other day, I was watching David Green. For those of you who don't know David Green, I want to let you know David Green. Who is David Green? How many of you have a smartphone here? Put up your hand if you have a smartphone. Most of your hands are up. Praise the Lord. How many of you have YouVersion Bible on your smartphone or the smart device? Thank you. Many hands up. David Green is the one that pays for you to have all those Bibles free of charge. One man. Oh, you just go. You download. I keep on telling you, it is free for you. Doesn't mean it is free. Somebody is paying. There is no version of the Bible. I downloaded the Yoruba Bible. Yeah, Yoruba Bible. I've not read that since I was a child. David Green gave me a Yoruba Bible free. Somebody had to put it there. So many of those Bibles are not free. New American Standard, Amplified Message, New Living Translation, they are not free. Most of the modern Bibles are not free. Who is David Green? Go and Google up his name. David Green. His family owns what they call Hobby Lobby in the United States of America. The The man is worth some few billions of dollars. Barack Obama, in his government, said, you have to pay for contraception and abortion against your faith. David Green said, no. He said he went to court. Of course, the deadline was approaching. He's fined for the size of his company. If he doesn't pay insurance for that will cover, the health insurance that will cover contraception and abortion against his faith, the fine was going to be about $10 million a day. I've gotten a certain, let me not give figures, but it was going to ruin the company in a few months. So he decided that, no, I'm not going to pay. It's against my faith. But I don't want my company to collapse. I employ tens of thousands of people. And what did they do? The men gathered to pray. They prayed, the whole family prayed, and then his lawyers went to court. They lost the first point. He said, no, appeal that case. Finally, they won. The American appeal, the what they call their circuit, the court of appeal covering that area, all right, ruled that the man, they should grant him an injunction so that he got an extension from that deadline while the whole battle went on. Finally, he won, and they said it's a privately held company. He has a right to run it in accordance with his faith. Thank you very much. That was the first time. I didn't know it used to happen. He appealed a judgment that he won. I don't know whether I get the point. He said, let me drag it to the Supreme Court once and for all. He dragged the matter to the Supreme Court. Listen, the men were not taking things for granted. They were at home praying. Finally, Supreme Court said, he's right. He does not have, this is, he lost at the first level. The state said you had to pay. Federal government said you had to pay. He said, I am not paying. This is against my faith. It's against the will of God. This, my company, is run on Christian principles. Go and Google up the story. I'm not telling you stories that I'm imagining. David Green, Hobby Lobby. Finally, the Supreme Court again said, yes, the decision is right. He has a right to run a company the way he thinks it's in accordance with his faith. And he won that victory, listen to me, for all the men that only have $1,000. They can't go to court. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you about wealth. There are fights you fight in life. You know, a bishop is not here. Sometimes we're talking. I said, this is a fight we should fight, but it's not my fight. I'm a preacher. What I mean is that a government can tell you, pay this money. Say, this money is not legal. Without the federal receipt, they say, everybody, go and change your license plate. All of us were angry. Well, did you do anything? No. People were paying $25,000. Those who had two cars, three cars, were paying $100,000 to change a license plate that had nothing wrong with it. One man in Lagos said, no, I'm not going to pay. He dragged FRSC to court. Court said the former license plate was a constitutional matter. That is a law in the country. There is no law saying that that one has been cancelled. He won the victory for everybody in Nigeria. I don't know that guy. He saved me 50,000 naira. I don't know him. Listen, that's what life is. I don't need to explain. That is what life is. Don't just sit down there and say, what am I looking for? Other people are looking for something and you are the one that will give it to them. That is what I am preaching. Nobody is preaching covetousness here. There are fights you are supposed to fight. It doesn't concern you alone. You could pay. Government said, do this. You could pay the 100,000 and forget it. But he said, this law is unjust. And God said, that was why I gave you money. That's why your company puts into your pocket every month 20 million naira in profits into your pocket alone. How much food can you eat? What are you going to do? Say, hire me as a senior advocate. Tell him, kill that case. You're not benefiting anything. You could have paid, the law is just 100,000 naira. But it's going to cost you 2 million naira to fight it. But God says, fight it for the interest of justice. That's what wealth is about. I want you to get angry with poverty that does not allow you to talk. Listen, it's not everything God wants us to answer with prayer. David Green could pray, but he had to go to court. God said, look, pray. Yes, Daniel, you are praying. Now I need to raise Cyruses all over the place that will fight and destroy oppression. That's what we are talking about. I told you something earlier. Let me just say it again. It's not everything God solves with. Just pray about it and leave it. Say, now that you have prayed about it, I want people to rise up and say, what's all this noise about UNTH? Let's make it inconsequential in this area. Say, what do you mean? Boys, bring money, let's get investors. I open doors for you. You get massive stretches of land. Start your own hospital. If they're on strike, the region won't feel it. Are you getting my point? And that's what I keep on saying. Christians think everything is about money. No, no, human generally. Christians must not be like that. Everything's about money, money. There are business you will do. God says, don't worry. It will not make you any personal profit. I've already made you rich. There are things you do when you have made money. You're already wealthy. So now what we're going to do now is just to be spending. As we are not idiots, we're not fools, we are children of God, our spending is going to be righteous spending. So you come to this area and say, why are they always going to India? When this hospital don't work, no wahala. You will go to the same hospitals, hire the striking people, give them job. They say, if you strike here, huh? You will sign an agreement. It's only when God has given you money that you talk such talk. I don't know whether you're getting my point. There are things you don't do because you prayed. Just because you're the only one praying. Thank you for praying, but your prayer, it will work in somebody else's life in a different manner. You know, I told you that one of the reasons why I like Dangote, because he's doing things that Christians should be doing. They say, Boko Haram, Boko Haram, Boko Haram is bombing. The man went there and said, okay, Kwele, Boko Haram bombing. All widows, 100 million. And all this Kwele, Kwele that doesn't come with cash, keep it in your house. Go and meet a man who's sick. He needs money for a hospital bill. You are doing Kwele, Kwele, Kwele. Okay? I don't need your Kwele. Go away. Give this doctor 2,000 for me. I know you are saying Kwele. Do you get my point? If every Kwele drops 1,000, Kwele, 1,000. But then I hear 50 Kwele, 50K. I pay the doctor, I get well, I go home. And then when wanted to say Kwele, he dropped. How much was it? Is it 200 million or 300? The man just, okay. Oh, all the victims of bombing. Christians, it's good though. We are good people though. We're taking offering. Please support Boko Haram victims. Hey! Father. You know one of the reasons why you don't hear me say offering time? In Kingdom of Ministries. There's one major reason. The idea that everybody say, I must give something when I come. And what is the give something? 100 naira, 50 naira. They vex my body. People treat as if God is a beggar. The same money you give in traffic for the boy who clean your window. You come to church, drop the same amount. It upsets my soul. For me, treat it. You know when you want to buy that pair of shoes you admire? You know the way you get ready and you go with courtesy. Good afternoon, sir. Can I have that pair? You know that kind of thing? And you swipe correct cash. You get a POS. People can give, you know, you get my point. No, Christian, you're like, we do as if church team now offering 10-10 kobo. 10-10 kobo is good, though. Let me tell you, the widow tried with the might, but the might did not build that temple. Her might was good for her and her God. But God had to raise other people to multiply the might. If not might, that temple would have taken a million to build, a million years. When Dangote wanted to say sorry to Boko Haram victim, he said it in a very godly fashion. Some people are writing articles in the paper. Dangote didn't write article. He went there and said, they bombed this place. Ah, give me 200 million naira. Sorry. Oh, Father God, I love that girl. I'm sorry. Those who were crying before say, wait, let me share this money for this crime. Wipe their faces. Wipe their faces. Who will wipe their faces first? I mean, you know, when you want to solve problems like that, you go somewhere. Like I told you, I feel like I'm gisting. There are some villages, they say that the boys are not going to school. I told one of my colleagues, he was telling me the story of his life. He said, do I know that in his village, there are very few people there are educated. It's from the middle belt. That he was there were seven people better than him in his school, his secondary school. I said, how do you know there were seven people better than you? He said, because I always came eighth. That every exam, I always be number eight, number eight, number eight. He said, and it was an accident. The way he went to school, he was just telling me the story. That it got to a point, one small mistake happened. They had to gather people to go to secondary school. There was a way they missed something. I can't remember the details now, but he was chosen. He said, I wasn't the best. There were seven people better than me. From there, he went to a higher institution, became a doctor, became a specialist. He's now a professor. You get my point? When he was telling me the story, I told him, I said, you know why God made your life like that? He said, why? I said, what you now need to do, look around for a few people like you in that community. I'm talking about wealth now. I said, go back home. See those boys in your village? know what you're going to do to them? Gather a few of you. Each one of you drop 20,000 naira a month. You get 100K a month. Then go to NYC camp. Tell the coppers, tell them to post coppers here. Get a small house. Erect a small house or rent a small house to put the coppers. I said, buy them a small, tiny generator. You know this generator? I better pass my neighbor. Buy them a small one and buy a satellite dish. These cheap ones. Pay small subscription for them. And tell the boys, stay here. Don't redeploy. Stay a whole year. This is where you will stay. Then we will be, whatever the NYC is giving you, we are committing to give you this certain amount extra. The only thing I want is that make sure these boys know English, mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology. Pick them like that. I said, if you guys do this consistently for a few years, you come back in 10 years' time, your community will be full of graduates and rich people. That is what they call wealth. That's the counsel I gave him. I said, look, you think this testimony you are giving me, it's not supposed to end there. I said, now that has happened to you, go back and say, this is the end. From here, it will become regular that people succeed. Because it's not as if your committee has a society of dunces there. No. It's just that there are no good schools and there's no encouragement. That's all. I served somewhere in Taraba State where 90% of all the teachers in the community were youth coppers. NYC closed, school closed. And that's why people say, scrap NYC. I say, I will never support in 1,000 years. That's what wealth is for. God blesses you. No, I started by talking about how to say sorry. That's why God has to bless you. You can't be telling me this nonsense that after what's a man looking for? A man is looking for how to help the society. What the Lord wants believers to do. Do you get my point? It's not about money now. Say, the only reason why he gives us money is so we'll be able to do. Many Christians are just wasting. You know why they won't prosper much? God prospers them small. And they start wasting. Running all over the place, pursuing what's not pursuing them, buying things they don't need, competing with people that don't know they are there. Like I always like to add, one day we literally have to face the judgment throne of Christ Jesus and explain what we did with the gift that he gave to us. Like I told you, my message today is just to expand the hearts of believers to understand what wealth is about and be willing to receive it. Leave this cult, you know what I call cult of poverty. Leave it. Those who say that that's a Christian looking for, leave them alone. Any man who's saying that, ask him how many other people have you helped pay their fees? You say, what's a Christian looking for? I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I want to be able to stand and go to a public school, say, why are these teachers not working regularly? I want to be able to put a competition down for teachers in a public school. I say, at the end of the year, you do this, your pupils do this, I give them a test, they pass like this. I sponsor you and your spouse for a weekend holiday in Dubai with $2,000 free for shopping. Forget this. Don't let me curse anybody. All these stupid people that we have there doing what do you call Gouda, Ultimate Search, they are not helping anybody. They just want to sell more Gouda. God needs you and me to walk over to a party. What are you even saying in school? Walk to a police station and say, what do you guys need here? You know, there's a way you will bless a police station. If you walk in and say, I hear you detain this man. Why? They will explain to you. Yes. You just went there, you painted the place for them. Regularly you come, weekends, you pay for dinner, you know, for lunch for everybody there. You say, oh, DPO's office doesn't have a computer. You dash him a computer. They said that we need money for fire. You buy them. How much is fire? You buy a bond, you say, okay, anytime you need fire, go here and collect. Next time, if they do anyhow, you go say, ah, Oga DPO, what is going on here? Do you know he will explain to you? Say, ah, sir, it's not like that. No, listen, I'm telling you, I've talked to some of these policemen. The government gives them nothing to run those places. There's one I know, they opened a new police station and made him the DPO and didn't give him one kobo. So he was looking for who to arrest.
That whether you are innocent or not doesn't matter. When you are proven you are innocent, he will say no problem. But please, this roof is leaking now. In your innocence, why don't you do something? No, this is the reason why we Christians, that's how we talk the way we talk. Like I said the other day, look, I have to impact many people. Me, Banky. Banky has to impact many people. Say amen.
Amen.
When I'm traveling, I can't be wasting time at the airport. I need to call you and say, I'm traveling tomorrow. Have a plane for me. I'm not planning to buy. Thank God for your life. Ever since I discovered that you will be rich, I said no need for me to buy again.
Amen.
I will tell you simply, listen, I'm leaving from Enugu so and so time. After that, from there, I have to preach in Abuja. I'll be in Abuja for this period. These guys are in Lagos. They are waiting for me. Say, sir, thank you very much. Which time do you want to leave? I'll bathe in my house, eat in my house, kiss my wife bye-bye. 2 hours later, I started preaching. 4 hours later, I'm preaching in Lagos. And I sleep in Lagos, and I tell you, you pick me up tomorrow morning. I know the part of it I enjoy most. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That is the part I'm looking forward to. Somebody will see me one day and say, you arrived. They look and say, you have many. No, I don't have many. The Lord just has need of it. When I need, I send for the cult. You know? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what we are talking about in Christianity. Let me just add this one to it. This is actually what I want to preach today. The Holy Spirit just got me stuck here. And then we leave. I hope I have done something. I hope I have explained to believers that, listen, let's not stay with this poverty thing. Let's in our hearts expect God to lift us to a level of grace where we can do His will and help other people do the same. That's what we're talking about. Let me just introduce this and I close. In 5 minutes, I'm out of here. I want to just establish a principle. Quickly open to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. There is a procedure for possessing the land. And that's what I want to explain. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to emphasize the fact that there is a procedure for possessing the land. I will not read all of this now, but just to introduce this subject so we can go home. He said, now it shall be, if you diligently obey, if you diligently hearken, King James would say, literally, he said, if you shall listen to the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today. He said, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed, he said, shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. That verse 3 is the one I want to read again. He said, blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. He says that about, if you read many translations, he keeps on using the word field. And that's what I want to just introduce. I said something earlier, that God does not just like working miracles. This is what a lot of people expect, that they'll just be walking on the road, and the gates of heaven will open. And God will pour a blessing upon their head, and the blessing shall fall in naira, in dollars, in pounds, in gold, in silver, physically. And they shall collect it and take it home. And they say, God has worked a miracle. Listen to me. That is not what God loves to do. There is a proper procedure. Please, because I'll develop it next time. There is a proper procedure for God to bring wealth into your hands. And when they were going to the promised land, he told them something. In the wilderness, you can have manna. It can fall from heaven. He said, but in that land I have blessed, that you are going to take from that giant, I'm adding new words to it now. In that land, what I have given you is seed time and harvest. You will plant, you will have time, and then you will harvest. If you do not plant in the planting season, there will be nothing for you in the harvest season. Moses said, blessed you will be in the field. That is, you must have a field. I'm applying it again now, not being literal in the interpretation. You must have what? a field. You must have a place from which the blessing will be converted from a spiritual substance into a material substance. He calls it the field. I said something the other day when we were talking, Apostle. I said that they went and saw a land that was flowing literally with milk and honey. Very fertile land. They had grapes. They had things that were productive. As everything they saw belonged to somebody. That's why God said you have to fight for it. That is, if you want, the land may be fertile, but the grapes will grow in somebody's field. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So God said, listen, first thing you do, acquire a field. When Isaac was going to be blessed, he had to sow in that land. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. I want to introduce something. All right? We'll continue next time. For all Christians to know that the miracle of the Christian is not... You see, all these testimonies of praise the Lord, yesterday, I was very broke, and I needed school fees, and somebody gave me. It's because it was school fees. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, school fees. You're a child. You are looking for what? School fees. All these testimonies that I was just going on the road. I was very broken. I just prayed. And it is, that money will not do anything serious for you. It will just help you tide over. You pay the school fees, then you are broke again. You have to believe God for money to use to eat before the exam. And it's okay while you're a student. As you are growing in life, God said this kind of emergency miracles, the angel is going on retirement. Oh no, he's not retiring. I'm redeploying him to another student. That what I'm going to do is to multiply your field. I hope you're getting my point. That's the summary of what I want to introduce now. Field. 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 God says, everybody, let me know your field. There's a way you interpret that. I like the way the Englishman has applied it. If you see a man on the road, I say, what's your field? You know, he said, okay, I'm a computer engineer. I'm a building contractor. I'm a mason. I'm a carpenter. I'm a plumber. I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. It tells you something. Let me drop this one before I go. First thing you aspire for in life, it's not, let me make money, what makes money? No. It is, what will I be doing in life? That somebody will be in Lagos, they will need it, my name will come to mind. Why do we think it's only preachers they should invite from Lagos? Do you know I get a lot of invitations? Almost all of them is to come and preach. Nobody has ever invited me, Olayinka, have you noticed? To say that you come and present a proposal on development of the rice farms in Nasarawa State. Have you ever heard that before? Somebody calls, is that Pastor Banky? Is that Kingdom of Ministries? We're thinking of developing a rice farm here. Do you guys have a proposal for us? If you hear that one, you know it's 419. One man called me the other day. He said, I'm your friend, engineer Ajanle Koko from BHCN. I said, these guys are so dull. They can't invent something else. He said, are you in Enugu there? I said, no, I'm in Oka. He said, it's true. I mean, in fact, myself, I'm now in, I'm now in Niger State. I said, not Niger State, they will carry you to mortuary. That's what I told him. I said, my friend, go and find work. Oh, God, I was not in the mood for talking. I would have kept the guy there for a long time. I would have done the one the other guy, they say, ah, Mr. Jale Goku, is it you? I saw your sister the other day. Everybody don't craze for your house. If you haven't seen that joke, you should go and get it. That guy said, I'm not cheating. I'm a 419 man. The guy said, no, you're not 419. You're... The Lord is good. Now, what's the point I'm making? If I get a call from anywhere, I know what they are looking for. Come and preach. I want to leave that with you. God wants to expand you and bring blessing into your life. Say amen.
Amen.
So he says, which field do you want me to pour it in? And the first assignment, let us settle down and negotiate on your field. It's that field that I'm going to pour that grace into. It's that field I am going to pour that gold into. It's that field I'm going to pour that increase into. I don't want testimonies from my children, God is saying, that somebody just say, he's rich, she's rich. And we can't say, this is what he does, this is what she does. He said, your wealth is going to be a story of righteousness. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's going to be a story of righteousness, something for young people to follow. There are many politicians in Nigeria who just know they are rich. I won't mention names. So what does his rich do? We don't know. Listen to me, that cannot be your case. God doesn't want that kind of story. He wants your wealth to first create wealth before he returns money to you. By the time you make a million, the value you have created in the lives of people is 10. Do you get my point?
Yes.
That is what God wants to do. I'll continue from that point next. I hope you are blessed today.
Yes.
Let's quickly close this, bow our heads, and just give the Lord thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, I receive the grace by faith. Say, Lord, I now understand what wealth means. It's not about, hey, I'm a rich man on this earth. No. It's power to channel your resources. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's just declare the word of God. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I receive the power to get wealth.
I receive the power to get wealth.
Poverty is out of my life.
It's out of my mind.
It's out of my spirit.
Is out of my heart.
Is out of me totally.
I have all sufficiency.
Say, God is making all grace abound towards me.
God is making all grace abound towards me.
I'm having all sufficiency in all things.
And I'm abounding to every good work.
I'm a positive influence in my environment.
I bring forth the righteousness of God.
Say this, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes,
and I know my field.
I claim my field.
I prophesy upon my field right now.
Grace.
Grace.
Say grace.
Grace.
Favor.
Favor.
Increase.
Increase.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Fruitfulness.
Fruitfulness.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say every thorn in my field.
Be uprooted,
be uprooted
in the name of Jesus.
Say it again. Every thorn,
every stone,
everything that obstructs productivity,
be uprooted,
out of my field,
out of my life,
in the name of Jesus Christ. See that prayer? You know what it will do for you? Once I heard Ken Hagin teach, two people said that God, if it's your will, oh, let us know for my wife to be healed. A man, the wife was sick. And when they were preaching, when the man was preaching, they found out that it was God's will. I said, that's an answer. Sometimes, you understand, you pray a prayer like that. Let me tell you what will happen. You know how God will uproot it? I will teach about it next time. He starts giving you information. Many people, why they can't succeed what they are doing, that they don't have the necessary information. Ignorance becomes an obstruction. That prayer will do all kinds of things in your life.
Amen.
And your field will be productive.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,